Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Okay, let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour is on the air. Glad you're with us around the state, wherever you're tuned in or online. Welcome to the program. We're broadcasting from rainy Oak Grove, Mississippi in the Southern Bancorp studio, and we're glad that you're with us. Going to introduce you to our newest assistant basketball coach in just a moment. Later in the show, we're going to talk to Scott Watkins down at the Biloxi Sun-Herald and get an update on the World Series, which I think just got underway with Troy from the Sun Belt Conference taking on West Virginia. I think that game will be starting here any moment, so we'll try to keep you updated on that as well. Opening segment of the show sponsored today by our good friends at Movie Star Restaurant here in Oak Grove. 25 years serving up the best country cooking buffets you'll find anywhere. Really appreciate Lori Ford and her wonderful family for their sponsorship of our show, and encourage you to take your family there for really the best buffet meal you'll find anywhere in the Pine Belt. All right, Ben Mandelbaum is the new assistant basketball coach for men's basketball. We're glad to have him here in the studio with us. And first of all, Coach, welcome to the Eagle Hour studio, and welcome to Hattiesburg.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here. Hattiesburg has been unbelievable so far in the few weeks that I've been here. So I'm just really excited to get here and get started and start building for the season.
Tell us what led the road that led you here.
You know, the basketball world is really small. You know, there's one degree of separation between everybody. So I actually worked with Coach Noah Croak when we were young. We were both junior college assistants together, and we've had a close relationship. So I actually sent or was key in sending Jai Benet here from Alcorn State, where I coached him. And Coach Croak and I have, you know, a close relationship, so I kind of helped facilitate that. And then when they heard that assistant spot was open this year, they kind of reached out to me, and, you know, I kind of talked with Coach Ladner, and next thing you know, I'm moving from Chicago to Hattiesburg. So,
but you're a native, Ben, of Fort Wayne, Indiana, right. And Indiana, up until this last year, was known as the basketball state.
Yes.
And then the football team has to go and start asking questions and say, hey, why not a football state? And they win the natty.
That was one of the most improbable, unbelievable runs. I remember, you know, everybody in my family went to Indiana University except me. Of course, I'm the oddball. But I remember my dad and, you know, my family taking me to games where we would have entire rows to ourselves because nobody would go to Indiana football games. Nobody cared, you know. And the fact that, you know, you go from a program where you win three games every year to in 2 years winning a national championship with Coach Signetti is unbelievable.
But what is it about the state of Indiana, though, that's just basketball nuts?
It's just... You know, it's a religion up there. You know, you think about, you know, Bob Knight and the movie Hoosiers, and, you know, it's, I think there's a statistic, if you drive around Indiana and look at the houses, I think one of every three houses has a basketball hoop or something like that. People there are just passionate and really love the game, understand the game, and know it really well. So you're kind of just born into it, and, you know, you think about all the great players and great coaches that have come from the state of Indiana. You know, it's hard to not love basketball if you're from up there.
Coach, tell us what your responsibilities are with this basketball team this season and what you guys have seen through some of these summer camps from your squad.
Yeah, so we just got started on Monday. Was excited to finally get everybody here. You know, I've been here for a few weeks, so I've just kind of jumped right in. You know, I'm kind of a guy where, you know, my skill set is really versatile, where I feel like I can fit in anywhere on a staff or on a basketball team. So I've kind of just kind of pitched into, you know, wherever I've felt like a need is. And I think we're still kind of, you know, clarifying those roles and seeing, you know, what is needed from this staff to be successful. But, you know, for me in the past, I've, you know, coached a lot of, you know, worked under a lot of great defensive coaches. So, you know, I've spent a lot of time on that side of the ball. You know, I've also coached and worked for some guys who are unbelievable offensively, you know, and I've been blessed in my journey to learn from a lot of different people. So I'm pretty versatile as far as that. Obviously, as an assistant coach in Division I, you got to be able to recruit. You know, that's the name of the game. If you can't recruit and can't bring in big-time players, you're going to get left behind. So obviously, recruiting, you know, and helping develop these guys on and off the floor. You know, there's an element now where these guys are getting paid, and there's an educational point of this as well, where, okay, you know, you guys are getting this money, like, let's teach these guys, you know, how to, you know, have some of this money so that they're, you know, set up for life after basketball too. So it's really all encompassing. You know, I wouldn't say I do one thing or another. You know, as an assistant, you got to wear a lot of different hats. So,
man, this team that you guys got, some size, some agility, some movement, some speed in certain areas. What about from the arc? Because that was a big struggle last season, you know, not being able to shoot the ball, three ball particularly well. What have you seen so far on this team that maybe separates this team from last year's team?
Yeah, I think our guard play is going to be a lot more solid. You know, I did watch Southern Miss quite a bit last year, and they had some talented guys, but I thought, you know, at times if you had more of a true floor general, true point guard, you know, you win some of those closer games, you know, down the stretch. If you can get more efficient shots, if you can not turn the ball over, if you can get the ball into the right person's hands. So I would expect our guard play to be a lot better. We got 3-point guards. Jaleek Gaines Wyatt, who was at Hampton University last year, averaged about 12, 13 points there. He just practiced for the first time last night, can really shoot the ball, is a real true floor general. And we got some other guys who can really shoot it. Elliot Tulip is a Division II transfer. That was at West Alabama. He can really make some shots. You know, Brandon Weston, who was at Tennessee State, can really make some shots. So we have some guys who are going to be some big-time shot makers, and hopefully if we can generate, you know, good, clean, feet-set, open threes, you know, we can make them at a higher percentage than we did last year.
It's funny. I've told these guys, but, you know, Elliot Tulip, every time I hear that name, I just get excited because, you know, I played against him in basketball.
Oh, did you?
And he used to play in a homeschool league that I played in because, yeah, I was homeschooled.
Oh, yeah.
And so he's actually from our league, the first homeschool player from our league to ever have a Division I, be on a Division I team.
Yeah,
so, really awesome story there.
Yeah, we're trying to get him to come out of his shell a little bit. Maybe that's the homeschool in him, you know, trying to get him to talk a little more. I'm like, Elliot, like, you can talk to me, man. Like, you can give me a little more than a 1 or 2 word answer. No, he every time he shoots the ball, it feels like it's going in.
Oh,
practice.
Yeah. No, I know. We played him.
Yeah. I'm trying
and
to
I
give
mean, him. We played him when he was like 12 and 13 and 14. You know, I'm a little bit older than him, of course. And, you know, he was starting varsity at 14, like, and just drilling shot after shot.
Yeah, I mean, he's an elite shot maker. Trying to get him to rebound a little more. He's only averaged about 1.7 rebounds in his career. Which is not going to fly with me. You know, I like guys who can go in there and get the ball. So he's going to have to rebound a little bit more, but he can really, really shoot the ball from the perimeter.
Men's assistant basketball coach Ben Mandelbaum is with us here on the Eagle Hour. Ben, it's one thing to have some 7-footers, but it's another thing to have 7-footers that can move. And you really, Dima mentioned the agility. You guys like the agility, the ability to move horizontally, vertically, that these 7-footers that you have now on the team. Tell us about them.
Yeah, see, a lot of these guys can slide their feet. Max Blank is a junior college transfer from McLennan. He's 7'1", big as a house, you know, really skilled guy who can move his feet. You got Noah Boyd out there, who's a transfer from Western Kentucky. He's out there moving his feet. Falou from last year, who's, you know, another year healthy off of his knee injury. He's out there sliding and playing with a lot of energy. So we feel like, you know, we got some guys who can move and can run. You know, coach likes to have positional size is what he talks about, you know, being big at every single position. And we should have some guys who can, you know, get out there and run and play fast and play how coach wants to play.
Now, Bob, just on a side note, Coach Mandelbaum, a big sports fan. And we were talking a little bit about sports in general.
Here we go, Damon.
And the greatest, and you've been to a lot of different sporting events in your young age. What, other than any basketball game, Coach Mandelbaum, what is the greatest sporting event you have ever witnessed?
Well, it's in the name. They call it the greatest spectacle in racing, the Indy 500. I challenge anybody. So you know, grew up in Fort Wayne. My dad's from Indianapolis, so we kind of have a tradition of going to the race every year. On that weekend, and everybody that we've ever brought to the race, you know, begs to come back and is blown away by it. So I would challenge anybody, wherever you're from, you know, whatever your background is, if you like racing, if you don't like racing, if you like sports, if you don't like sports, to go to the Indy 500 and enjoy yourself and have a good time. Words don't do it justice, how good of an event that is. But I promise, if you guys, I'll take you next year. We can go, and we'll go have a great time at the race.
Well, here's the question, Coach, as we sit you through the break. Is car racing really a sport? We'll be right back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, a good friends out at Eagle Tire West sponsor this segment of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. They also own Eagle Tire up on Hardy Street. Family owned and operated since 1985. Matt Warren and his dad, two of the nicest people you will ever meet, treat you good every time you walk in the store. They sell Goodyear products, all sorts of major tire brands, full service for your truck and your auto, and of course, they're big Southern Miss supporters. As are our friends at Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Genesis sedans and SUVs, all at Mississippi's exclusive Genesis dealership, Highway 98 West Hattiesburg. And Coach, nobody loves Southern Miss basketball more than the man that owns Genesis of Hattiesburg, Matt Grubbs. Have you had the opportunity to meet him yet by any chance?
I have not, but that's good to know.
Well, he's for many years sponsored the Pep Band. He paid for the Pep Band to be there. You'll meet him. He's at every game. Big, big supporter for many, many years of basketball. Good. So you're going to have a real friend in Mr. Grubbs, Genesis of Hattiesburg. All right, Coach, so if you look at last year's team, which was a competitive team, but obviously fell short of where they wanted to go, where do you think we'll see changes and improvement in this year's team?
Yeah, I think last year's team, barring Morris getting hurt, that team was right there, got hot at the end and positioned themselves right there to make the NCAA tournament. I mean, they're right there in the semifinal of the Sun Belt tournament and lose to a Troy team who, made a nice run and did a good job for themselves, and Coach Cross got a new job. So, last year's team was a good team. I think this team will be a little different and a little more playing a little more together. Had a lot of great individual talents on that last year's team. A lot of really tough shot makers. You think about Bully Weeks, who, ended up transferring up to Memphis. You had Jai Benet, who I coached at Alcorn State, who had an unbelievable motor and was unbelievably athletic. So I think this year's team is going to play a little more together, and I think it's going to be a little more by committee. I don't know if we're going to have somebody who goes out there and averages 18, 19 points a game. I think we might have a bunch of guys who average about, between 10 and 13. We'll have a true floor general and, a guy who can, generate good quality shots, which you have to do in March, when the game slows down and becomes more half court. You have to have a guy who can lead you and who can generate good shots for your team. So I think it'll be a good offensive team. and we should be able to shoot the basketball at a higher level.
Regardless of sports, you got to have some depth.
Right.
And how does right now, provided that you have everybody that you're hoping you'll have, how does the depth picture look?
You know, if I had to name five starters right now, I don't think I could, because we have, you know, so many guys who we feel confident in.
And that's a good problem to have.
Yeah, we have so many guys right now that we feel confident in that can go out and contribute and that have proven themselves. You know, you were talking about Indiana football. You know, Coach Cignetti at Indiana talked about his process in the transfer portal of looking for production. You know, he all those guys that he took from James Madison and those smaller schools had all produced at the Division I level. And that's something that I kind of believe in. You know, so we've taken a lot of guys. You know, Cameron Wallace was a double-figure scorer at Arkansas Little Rock. You know, Brandon Weston was a double-figure scorer at Tennessee State. Jaleek Gaines-White was a double-figure scorer at Alcorn State and Hampton. So, you know, those are guys who, you know, we anticipate coming in and being able to produce, but also, you know, having some of these younger guys, some freshmen who are talented. Dorian Bowen, who's a freshman from Evansville, Indiana, who's really impressed us so far in the first couple workouts, and some other Division II guys. You know, Elliot Tulip, who we mentioned, Mike Montano is a double-figure scorer in Division II. So, you know, I have a lot of guys who can put the ball in the basket, and we expect big things from.
Coach, and I know that there's probably not much you can share with us about the schedule before it's released, but, you know, when Kelly and I get to go down to Sunbelt Media Days in a couple of weeks, we're both going to ask Commissioner Gill about the, you know, four road games, four home games situation that they do for conference scheduling. Do you foresee that changing this year at all, or do you really, or maybe you don't know at this juncture? But is that something that you would like to see change?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't really been too involved with scheduling. I know we're still kind of working on it. Some of these larger schools are hesitating to play us, you know, because they think that we've put together a good roster, which I think we have. So, you know, some of these other schools are a little more hesitant as far as, you know, locking in some of these games. But as far as the Sun Belt games, that's something I'm not really familiar with right now. Being my first time in this league, you know, I've been in the SWAC and been in the NEC and been in Conference USA at previous jobs, but haven't spent any time in the Sun Belt. So, I'm sure we'll get some more news on that as we get closer to the meetings.
Men's assistant basketball coach Ben Mandelbaum with us here on the Eagle Hour. Coach, baseball coach Christian Ostrander was on the show a couple of weeks ago, and I think he used words when it comes to money that these kids are getting in the transfer portal: crazy, ridiculous,
stupid,
you know, things like that. And I'm worried that as this thing, if they don't get a hold of it here pretty quick, that the Southern Misses of the worlds, the Toledos of the worlds, are going to be priced out of being able to get any quality players to fill their roster spots. Are you as concerned about it as I am?
You know, I think it is a growing concern, because each year that the NIL has been here, the numbers have gone up and up for each player. Now, I come from a background of junior college, Division II, you know, very low Division I, where we didn't have any resources to pay our guys. And I, you know, pride myself in the fact that I've been able to win at each and all those spots and been a part of winning at those spots. So I think if you work hard enough at it, whether it's, you know, finding, you know, new people to bring on board, whether it's financially or, you know, supporting, and also identifying these kids that, you know, will work well for you and will work well in your system and that you can coach. You know, those are the kind of things that it's going to take, you know, as we evolve in this landscape. But it's here, you know, we've opened the floodgates with it. It's not changing, so we're going to have to adapt. And if, you know, we don't continue to adapt and continue to stay ahead of it, we could get left behind.
And I do suspect that those numbers are just as gross in basketball going upwards, some of the money that these kids are getting.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I've got, you know, friends that coach at higher Division I schools, Power 4 Division I schools. You know, they've got tens of millions of dollars to spend, you know. But at some point, there's going to be a diminishing return. You know, people aren't going to continue to give money and not see results. So, you know, with that, you got to produce, whether it's these players, these coaches, you know, you got to produce, and it's an added pressure added onto you.
And the good news about the Sun Belt is that you don't have to compete with the Iowa States and the, you know, Kentuckys or whatever. You just have to win your league. And in this NIL, you know, share, you know, you just have to worry about having, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Coach, but worry about having the best team to win your league.
Right.
You can have a small NIL budget and win the tournament in March, and you're dancing.
Right. Yeah. And not to say that we're not going to go out there and try to compete, you know.
Like right.
When I was at Alcorn State, you know, something that, you know, helped my boss get another job was because we had nothing and we went on the road and beat Wichita State. We beat Stephen F. Austin. You know, we beat Milwaukee. We beat Cal Bakersfield, some of these bigger schools. So, you know, we're not going to be afraid to play anybody. Sure. We're not going to be intimidated by, you know, their NIL budgets. And, you know, last year we had South Carolina beat, you know, there were some questionable calls at the end of that game, you know, that I'm sure Coach has brought up. We had them beat. So we're going to go out there and compete. But, yeah, I do think it needs to be competitive within the league. And a lot of these teams have increased, you know, what they have as far as financially within this league this year. James Madison comes to mind. You know, they've invested a lot into their program and their new coaching staff. And, you know, the Louisiana Tech is coming back in the league.
Georgia Southern just built a brand new home court.
Georgia State just got a new coach. You know, he's going to invest a lot into their program. So, you know, need to keep growing and keep getting competitive so that we can position ourselves to win the Sun Belt.
So you guys have just had a couple of practices. Bob Getty, I'm a little bit concerned that 5 months isn't enough to get ready for the first game.
Well, I mean, you know, they're only going to play through September of next year. Hey, Coach, it's delightful to have you here, man. We appreciate it. And thank you for coming in. And
I appreciate it.
If we can help you adjust in any way, we will. I will tell you, it'll be a matter of time before Kelly starts hitting you up for free swag and stuff. Just ignore him. All the other coaches ignore him. So,
well, you've seen the way he's built, and you've seen the way I've built. I don't think there'll be any shirts available.
No.
We can get some extra ones. We get some for you.
Coach, thanks a lot. Good luck to you this year, and really do appreciate you coming to our studio.
Awesome. Thank you for having me.
Oh, Coach Ben Mandelbaum, everybody, the new assistant basketball coach for men's basketball. All right, the College World Series is back underway. No score, first inning. We're going to be talking to Scott Watkins down on the Gulf Coast, Biloxi Sun-Herald. He covers Sun Belt baseball, and to get his thoughts about the statement that the Sun Belt has been making in the College World Series. Back with more Super Talk Eagle Hour in just a moment.
Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back, everybody. I want to thank the new basketball coach, Ben Mandelbaum, for coming in and spending some time with us. Welcome to Hattiesburg, Coach, and hoping for a really good basketball season. MCS Home Center wants to remind you that they have everything you need for home repair, home remodeling, and home construction. Of course, they've got it all at their new beautiful facility out on Highway 98 West, 7329 Highway 98 West, Hattiesburg's new improvement home center. Local folks always eager to help you. That's what you'll always find at MCS Home Center. DBAT, that's where you go to take your children to make them the best they can be in baseball and softball training. If you're an adult athlete and you want to get better in your sport, whether it be golf, pickleball, tennis, whatever, they've got a program for you there as well. They're all at DBAT on Hardy Street. It is a gorgeous facility, and we thank them for their support of our program. All right, I want to thank Michael Burgess for getting our technical issues sort of fixed here today. He kind of redid the board for us, so we're grateful. And we do believe we have Scott Watkins down at the Biloxi Sun-Herald. Scott, welcome back to the show. Thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, thank you guys. Always happy to be here.
Well, I know you cover the Sun Belt, and I'm just curious to get your thoughts. Here's Troy. They're playing right now scoreless in the second inning against West Virginia. In the College World Series, second year in a row that a Sun Belt team has made noise in the CWS. How big do you think this is for the league, Scott?
Yeah, it's pretty big. I think it's different from last year because last year was kind of your top team that was dominating all year long and mm-hmm. had made the headlines all year long, so you're not too surprised to see Coastal Carolina there. And then this year, it's the last Sun Belt team that gets into the tournament. I mean, they're last four in, and it's different. It's surprising. You weren't really expecting it, but it kind of just shows maybe that the depth of the league wasn't a shocker. You know, it wasn't a fluke. This team was one of the last four in, and the rest of the Sun Belt kind of laid an egg a little bit in regionals. So you still having that one team get through, I think, speaks a lot for the Sun Belt.
Scott, I want to get your thoughts on Travis Creel heading to Jacksonville State and what that means for Southern Miss.
Yeah, that's great for Travis Creel. I know that is a hot topic on social media. I don't spend any time on social media personally, so I just think it's great for Coach Creel. I'm really interested to see where Oz goes here. Obviously, this is a big moment. Depending on where you go, a lot of people kind of get hung up on Creel a little bit, and I'm not a baseball coach. I can't tell you what he does well and what he doesn't do well. Obviously, he must be pretty good, must be good enough to get a head coaching gig. I think the biggest thing with Southern Miss when it comes to the hitting is probably not coaching, but probably just general talent development and scouting. And I think you've already proven you're great at finding good pitchers, but you got to find more hitters. I mean, I think that's really what it is. If whoever you're going to go get, you got to give them some hitters.
And wanted to get your thoughts on, you know, there's obviously a perspective here that, you know, Southern Miss is generally hired within. So, you know, Ladd Rhodes would be the obvious option there. But you kind of mentioned at the tail end of your answer there. But, I mean, how important is this hire for Ostrander? I mean, this is already a vital offseason, you know, with how much they're losing. But now to lose a coach like this on the staff, I mean, how important is this hire?
I think it is important, though I will say I don't know how much it's going to change. I still think the biggest thing is going to be just acquiring talent. I don't know that, you know, I don't know the ins and outs of how they coach and how they teach and whatnot. If they find a good coach, then that's going to be big for them. Obviously, becoming more consistent with the bats is going to be really, really huge for this program if they can figure that out. But somebody that can spot talent, I think, is going to be the biggest thing.
I'll tell you why I don't think it's as big as maybe a lot of other that this hire is as big as anything else, because the more I'm around sports, the more I think, and Scott, I'll get your opinion on this, that it's not necessarily people, it's a system. And I'm going to point a couple of examples. Josh McDaniels, you know, as an offensive coordinator with the New England Patriots and their system, was really, really good. When he goes out to coach something else as a head coach somewhere else in a different system, not near as productive. Tom Brady, I would argue, would not have been the quarterback he was if he wasn't in that system. Belichick would not be the coach unless he was in as good a coach as if he was not in that system. What say you to that? A system more important than a person?
Yeah, I don't put quite as much stock into individual baseball coaching as I do just kind of like how you're running the entire program and what the culture is and what type of play you have in there. I think it's a little bit similar to football, and you go and get an offensive coordinator. I think there are times where that matters, but I think a lot of time it doesn't really matter all that much. It's kind of a broader picture. It's the football has way too many moving parts. The baseball has just a number of moving parts you can't even count and you can't see, you can never account for. And so I don't put a whole lot into individual baseball coaching. I think that it's you want to get the most talented players that you can find and hope for the best every pitch, really. There's only so much you can do on a baseball field.
Scott, I want to run this scenario by you. My associate, Dima, mentioned this earlier in the week, and I think there's some validity to it. For the past several years, always thought of Coastal and Southern Miss as the two top teams in the Sun Belt, but now Coastal has lost its coach and apparently a lot of its players. I guess they'll follow him wherever it is he went, to South Carolina or elsewhere. Does Troy step up now and become the other quote-unquote power team in the Sun Belt along with Southern Miss?
Well, I think we're going to have to wait and see what happens after this tournament. I'm curious what happens as far as the tournament, as far as the draft goes, as far as the transfer portal goes, how many players are going to leave, how many players are going to head to the draft, and whatever there. I think what they've got going on is clearly head and shoulders above at least half the league. I mean, whether you like Troy or not, when Skylar Meade got there, they kind of pulled out of that logjam that was the bottom 10 teams of the Sun Belt, and they've been second tier ever since. So, I think that Troy's kind of here. I don't know if they're, you know, going to be a team that's playing for a World Series every year. Probably not, but I think they're a team that's probably going to be contending towards the top of the Sun Belt as long as Skylar Meade is there.
Actually,
are they an old school? I mean, are they an old team, Scott? Do they have a lot of older players?
Yeah, it's very junior and senior heavy.
Okay. Actually, I think you could argue that Troy's overall athletic department health is really good.
Yeah.
When you take a look at their football team, you take a look at their basketball teams, now baseball.
Women's basketball team.
Yeah, women's basketball. I mean, Troy is clicking on all cylinders right now. So not just to say that they would be competitive in the Sun Belt, but if you were on those Commissioner Cups or whatever they give for overall success, Troy's kind of the new James Madison as far as successful in just about every sport.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting to look at a little bit because you still, I think most people look through that football as the front porch lens, and, you know, what is success in football? That's kind of very murky nowadays. And
sure,
you look at Troy football, and, I mean, they won the West last year, but you kind of look at the Sun Belt West, and you're thinking that's not exactly, I mean, you were the team that was the least bad.
Yeah.
Last season.
they were 7-5 and won the West.
So. Yeah, there you go. And then, you know, basketball, they lost their head coach, and women's basketball is, to me, they've been so good for so long that they're almost underwhelming when they don't win the Sun Belt, and they haven't won it but maybe once in the last 4 or 5 years. So, they are definitely competing atop the Sun Belt in those major sports, but I think that if they want to get to a James Madison level, I mean, they've got to take another step forward in something.
Right. About a minute left. I do want to get your thought about this. Here's what I find remarkable about the Troy run right now. They had their heart snatched out of their chest by Southern Miss in Montgomery with that walk-off grand slam. They don't win the conference tournament. Then they go to Miami, and they lose the first game of that tournament. If ever there was a time a team could have packed it up, it would have been right then, Scott. But what was it about this Troy team that they were able to suck up those kind of losses and yet do what they're doing now?
Yeah, they just play really, really well with their backs up against the wall, and I think they've just been in a ton of situations this year. I think that's probably the positive side of being a team this far into the tournament with 30 losses. They've been in these situations many, many times where it kind of seemed over for a little bit, but they've made things happen, and they've kept swinging. Like we said, they're an old group. They've got a guy, number two hitter on the team, or he hits second in the lineup. He's the number one leader in active hits in all of baseball. So these guys have just won the bat a ton of times, and they've played this level of team all year long. And this is a Sun Belt team with a top 10 strength of schedule, not non-conference strength of schedule, all around strength of schedule. I think they're number six. Mm-hmm. And so they are used to facing this kind of pitching and just swinging the bat all year long.
Well, we'll see how long it goes. Give us an update real quick before we let you go.
Yeah, we're still tied to 0 second inning. Troy's got one on, but it's been a bit of a pitcher's duel early.
Scott, thanks very much, man, and go enjoy watching your Trojans. We know you're pulling for
them. I'll do my best.
All right. Scott Watkins, everybody, Biloxi Sun-Herald. Kelly, I would point out one thing you said about Tom Brady. He won the Super Bowl with Tampa Bay system, too.
Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough.
We'll be right back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
You know, I want to say, now, I'm no Troy fan. You guys know that. But when you talk to guys like Scott Watkins, and you talk to our buddy Barry McKnight, which we wanted to talk to yesterday, he's doing the game right now, you can't help but feel good for him. I mean, you know how you'd feel if the Golden Eagles were there.
And there are a lot of Southern Miss ties to Troy. I mean, their athletic director used to be here as an assistant. Jeremy McClain used
now
to be there.
Georgia Tech. Okay.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So there are a lot of ties there.
Having said that, when the season starts next year, I hope we gut them 3 games in a row. And I think we probably will.
No, because we won't play them. the conference will see to it.
Yeah, now Troy's made it to the World
Series. Troy made the World Series. Take them off of Southern Miss's schedule.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're going to play Georgia State 15 times.
You could be right about that.
Coastal will be on the schedule.
Thank goodness they're in the West where they have to play us, right?
There's no divisions in baseball.
Southern Miss plays at Coastal next year, if I'm not mistaken. I'm planning to try to make that trip. Does look like a nice place to watch college baseball, I will say that.
Yeah, but I did forget that there isn't an East and a West in baseball, so we might not get to play.
Yeah, you might not. All right, Dima, have you got any news and notes?
Not much, Bob. We're in the middle of summer and it's flooding outside.
Well, should I do some business then?
Sure. What do we got?
Should I remind you that Forest Health says you need to take care of the most important player on your team? That would be you. You need to get an annual physical, eat right, exercise, be as good as you can be health-wise, and if you run into problems, Forest Health will help you with expert medical care closer to home. And Kelly Santer, if I might have some gold or silver laying around my house, where would you go?
Movie star. Oh, no, wait a minute.
No. That's, you're thinking about eating again, Kelly.
Yeah. Marty Vick, of course. Ding, 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 ding. Gold and silver for $200, please, Bob. Yes. Yeah, Marty Vick's been buying gold and silver for a long time. He's been a staple of this community. Has a plethora of bad dad jokes, if you like those.
He's a wonderful
guy. He'll be glad to share those with you. But give you a fair price. Keep it confidential if you want it confidential. And it's always good to know where he lives, where he works, you know.
And if you're lucky, you might bump into Cindy while you're down there.
If you're really lucky.
If you're really lucky. And that will certainly pick up the pace from being around Marty.
Yeah, she's Cindy's going to be on a TV show. Cindy Vick.
What kind of TV show?
It's one of these reality shows. It's called What Were You Thinking? It's new. It's going to be.
You must have been on that show.
Going to be out this fall. You know?
Kelly was on that show. I know it's not official, so we can't throw any names around there. But Southern Miss continues to work the portal, don't they, Dima?
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny because if you go on Twitter, you follow Ladd Rhodes. You know, he puts a little tweet out of a GIF of Southern Miss celebrating each time they get a commitment. He put out that last night, and we all know who it is, but we just all can't say it until the player himself. Let's just say this,
it is a position that we do think the team needed to address.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's one of the targets, so once that's official, we'll be able to announce that and things like that, but I think if they – after this guy that he'll announce any day now, but if they can get one more positional player in the infield, I really think this class is set. From what you got at that first baseman out of Grand Canyon, you got the Toledo right fielder, this guy they also got, and then if you could just get one more infielder, you'd feel pretty good. But looking ahead to the draft that's coming up in a couple of weeks, Davis Gillespie seems to get higher and higher on the draft board every time I look at it. So, at this juncture, guys, I don't expect him to be back next season.
Who else would you say is in danger of being drafted?
Well,
that would be it.
Seth Smith, he was a guy who Christian Ostrander mentioned. I just don't particularly see it with him. You wonder if some of his injury issues, could hurt him in that juncture. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, it is what it is, and they have to be prepared for it. But I would say Gillespie, probably like more than 50% yes, and then Seth Smith's probably lower.
But the thing about Seth Smith, and the Major League Baseball has a long history of doing this, they love lineage. They love drafting players of former or children of former players. And his dad has been the gamut. Of course, did have the good luck of playing for Detroit at one time. But all of those kids seem to have off-the-charts baseball acumen because they grew up around it. So they do tend to have a couple steps ahead when it comes to getting in draft order as children of former major leaguers.
And speaking of past players, I don't know if we've mentioned this since this weekend, but we got word Friday that Chucky Robinson was going to get some starts behind the plate for guess who, Kelly?
The Dodgers.
The Los Angeles Dodgers.
Yeah.
And he caught some games for them over the weekend. And, you know, I remember when he was here, and I remember how people loved him, and it was clear that Chucky had not come from a, you know, a wealthy family. How good do you feel about that kid starting on that team in particular?
Well, it's if when you talk to major league players, they will say that the Dodgers, like him or not, and I mean everybody goes, they just go out and buy all their players. That is the top-notch organization in the major leagues. We talked about a system earlier, like the New England Patriots, that system that they've got. They only had two bad years, and they're right back up on the top again. They've changed coaches. They've changed quarterbacks, and they just keep rocking and rolling. Same way with the Dodgers. So, if man, he did hit the mother load with L.A.
It doesn't get any bigger, does it?
It sure doesn't, and I hate to say it, but they do things right.
Well, congratulations to Chucky Robinson. Well, well deserved, and a Golden Eagle doing very, very well. All right, back in the studio tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Sure hope you'll join us. Thank you for listening. Don't forget about our podcast on every major podcast platform. Southern Miss.
To the top.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.